talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We just got done with the Swap Shop Show from 9 to 10. Now we're into cars. So if you have a car question, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Sitting next to me is Alan, my son, who's been in the business for, 20 years.
Yeah.
And Alan's specialty is tires and wheels and diesels and customization and exhaust systems and what to do to your exhaust system diesel and what not to do.
Right.
Yeah, those are important because there's been friends of ours and customers of ours that have thrown away parts that have a $2,500 value, and then when they get caught with the parts missing, then they have a $2,500 purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Close enough?
Yep.
So we can share our experience with you. Obviously, you can do whatever the heck you want to do, but it's not our opinion that you should be changing or disabling. There's certain emission control devices on your truck, but you can still add enhancements to the exhaust system.
Okay.
Right?
Not really.
Okay, so you...
No, I don't recommend it.
Okay, well, can't they put a bigger set of pipes on it, or a bigger pipe on it, or can they run from the back of the particulate filter bigger? Where does it go from the particulate filter backwards, just to the tailpipe tip?
Yep.
Okay, so they don't make a kit that goes bigger.
They do, but it doesn't do anything. You're throwing money away.
Okay. Well, give me another example of throwing money away. What do people ask you that we don't want to do?
Oh, DPF back exhaust systems for sure, I think, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the tip may look a little bit better, but it's not going to do anything else other than aesthetics.
Okay, what about air filters? Anything there that enhance
on a bone stock truck, I usually tell them just, you're throwing $354, $500, $600 away. I wouldn't typically do it. If you're going to do a complete, performance upgrade at that point, I would do it, but... The only other reason I would do it is just replace the filter itself to a lifetime cleanable one, and then save you money in the long run. But other than that, it's
But it can cost you money in the long run because when you over oil them, then all of a sudden
don't use oil. But yeah, you rinse them out.
Okay.
Yeah, we use the dry ones. But yes,
okay.
But yes, that certainly has caused a lot of issues in the past where people over oil them.
And it's an air filter that you clean, then you oil, then you
clean,
put back
dry,
in your truck.
And then oil. Yeah, and supposedly the oil, magnetizes to the dirt, and then it captures all that dirt, and the dirt is disciplined and turned away from the engine. But in reality, all they do is they over oil it, and it gets all over the mass airflow or the intake air temp sensor, and it makes a big mess.
And it's something that causes a couple of sensors to give bad information to the motor.
Yeah.
Therefore, the motor doesn't run right, and your fuel economy could very well go to the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
And there's all kinds, and then check engine lights and all kinds of stuff that happens.
Yep.
I have always been of the opinion, and you and I have not always agreed to this, but there's cold air kits and all this other kind of stuff, and especially the $300 air filters. I've always been of the opinion that for $300, you can buy the air filters for the rest of that truck for the rest of its life almost.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So to stick with the stock air filter, I think, is just a much better deal. But how many times have we pulled the air filter box apart on a diesel and found a coffee cup full of dirt?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's because they're not really doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
They're not having somebody do the work for them, and they're not changing out their air filter. They're not checking their air filter. There's a whole bunch of cowboys out there that just really don't open up the hood very often.
Right.
So those are the kinds of problems that we do run. Now,
Mark is your first caller, Mark.
Okay. We're going to get to Mark in just one second. I got one more question for you. The Chevy, the Dodge, the Ford.
Yeah.
What kind of oil change intervals, and do they make a difference between the semi-synthetic and the synthetic?
Sure they do.
Okay.
I mean,
give me the baseline. Is it a $12,000 to $15,000 or mile oil change on most of them?
I think we set them here in the shop on the full synthetic like 10 to 12,000, and then on the semi-synthetic it's 8 to 10.
Okay.
So.
And are you doing the fuel, are you suggesting a fuel filter with every oil change across the board, Dodge, Chevy, and Ford?
It depends on how long ago. I usually tell people 15,000 is what I like to do on my truck. So I usually run 15,000 on oil change, so I'll do my fuel filters at that time.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what I've got my truck on right now, too. I've got 12 to 15 on my truck, and I'm doing the fuel filter each time. We understand what we didn't understand years ago, the importance of having a new fuel filter.
Yeah. And the importance of filtration and the importance of fuel demand.
And also, if the oil light or the water light comes on, you have to deal with it. That's nothing that you can wait for very long.
No.
I just had an engine right now that's, you know, supposedly wiped out because of that. And so there's been a lot of problems with that. And guys are going through $9,000 worth of injector because they're aspirating a whole bunch of water because they're ignoring the water light. So that happens a lot. Let's go to Mark. Mark, good morning to you. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
My son has a 2004 Impala with 150,000 miles on it, and he began to get the following symptoms. On a cold startup, it would run a rough idle for a number of minutes, not every time he started it, but becoming more frequent. And then the temperature gauge would start to go up into the high end of the hot range,
okay.
And then it would come down and it would go back up. And also, he turned on the heat for the engine, for the passenger compartment,
uh-huh.
And no heat would come out. And so he took the car into a shop, and they did some diagnostics on it. And the result of that was that the head gasket is leaking. And, you know, they gave him a quote for the repair and maintenance, which seemed reasonable. He's a student, doesn't have a lot of money, and would like to keep the car going for a while, but it's about $3,000 to pull ahead, maybe machine it, replace the radiator, flush out the heater core. And my question is I know that there's head gasket sealers on the market. Are they of any value at all, or any suggestions you might want to offer?
So, okay, go. Who you want? Okay.
I want to know what kind of car it is again. It's an
04. 2004 Impala.
Impala. Yeah, Impala. Okay, so it's a gas motor. Okay, I got you.
3.4 liter.
Okay. We cross this bridge multiple times a week here at the office. Multiple times a week. This is, and I'll tell you the same thing, and we kind of treat these things the same way we treat our own vehicles here. My first inkling was head gasket, but the fact that it doesn't happen every time, and the fact that does it ever get into the red, the temperature?
Yeah, I think he said it did get up there, and then it has a gauge and a warning light.
Okay.
Once the warning light came on.
Okay.
And he just drove it home yesterday, and while he was driving it back from the shop because he's not sure what he wants to do, he said the temperature went up within about a 5-mile drive, and then it started to come back down. And
right.
All right, but here's the deal. The temperature is A-okay at 3/4. Okay, so between half and 3/4 is the range we want it to run. We're interested is when the needle gets into the overheat box. So we don't care about half to 3/4. We don't even care between half and 7/8. But when the needle gets into the box, you know, that's a stopping point. That's a period stopping point. Continue.
So if you were my customer, I'd tell you this. It sounds like to me it's a fairly small leak. Because large head gasket leaks either A, I mean, we have one in the shop right now that literally pumps water out the exhaust, and it's dripping out of the muffler. It will get hot within a mile. So it sounds like to me it's a fairly small leak. You understand that those head gaskets, we do have some that work. We do have some that work real good. However, it is a Band-Aid. It is not a proper fix. It's a Band-Aid that may get you through the next year or two or three. It may get you through a month. But it is a Band-Aid, and it can cause other issues. But it's something we will do from time to time on certain select cases.
Okay, I'm going to take the other side of that, Mark. I'm going to tell you that the fact that it's got a rough idle means that we've got water being pressurized into a cylinder. That's the reason why you have the rough idle. We're going to fix that when we do the head or whatever. Number two, the fact that he's not really seeing a low consumption of water, that's important. But when you start talking about that the idle or the temperature goes wild, goes high and going low, that's exactly when the water level is at a critical stage. As far as the heater's concerned, we're going to set that aside for right now because we can back flush that heater core and see if we can get it working. But it could be if both hoses that are going to the heater are hot, then it's underneath the dash problem. Underneath the dash, we're going to serve cold air or hot air to the vents. And sometimes we have the ability, I don't know about your 14-year-old car, but sometimes we have the ability to mix hot and cold air. That's called the blend door. So if that blend door stuck on the cold side and it ain't going to let hot side in it, then that heater ain't going to blow hot air because it can't. However, gold gray-haired guys like me and Alan will touch the heater hoses, and if they're both hot, bingo, bingo.
Did you just call me a gray-haired guy?
Well, look at your beard.
Well, that's chrome.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yours is gray or white. Mine is chrome.
Okay. Well, So the idea is that if that's the case, if one is cold and one is hot, then we're going to flush it. So we're going to set the heater aside. I'm going to change. Yeah. He told you something I don't agree with. We've got a sealer that has already gone 100,000 miles. So we've got a sealer that we know how to install, we know how to fix it, we know how to do this, and we also have learned what not to use the sealer on. Because we had that Suzuki Samurai that was running water out of the tailpipe, and you just described another one.
Right. I agree. What time will we break? Okay, 17. I 100% agree, but here's the issue. If it's too big, it ain't going to work. If it's real small.
We agree.
I would never tell a customer, yes, we have seen cars go 100,000 miles. We got one here in the shop that's owned by one of our techs. But you and I both know that if we say, oh, we've got ones that last 100,000, that's the last thing they're going to hear. Okay. And when it lasts 3,000, they're going to come back going, you said it would last 100,000.
Fair enough. But I want to ask you something. How many have come back?
Oh, I would say, probably maybe 5% of the ones that come back, because we're very selective on the front side of which ones we do.
All right, so our success rate is 95%?
On the ones that we decided to do.
Right, and permanently, so to speak. So the idea is $120?
Yeah, something like that,
okay, here's the deal. It's $120, and I don't mean to thump my chest. This is a very uncomfortable situation for me, because this show has never been about our shop. But we flush the cooling system really, really well. We install the sealer. We set that up, and then we give the car back to you. And then, obviously, depending on where you're at, a long drive home is a pretty good deal. If you live close by, you're going to take your car to Casa Grande and back. We need a little bit of work. We need a little bit of circulation. We need some hot. But we've had really good success, and this is the first sealer. I've been in this business 39 years, and I have never found a sealer this good ever. As a matter of fact, the success rate on everything up to this sealer, I'm not going to name the name because I'm not going to give them the credit, but up until this sealer, the best you could hope for was a 25% success rate. And I'm going to tell you right now, I even disagree with his 95%, but 95%, I'll go along with that. 95%, we don't see him again, they're all fine. It's the size. You haven't said anything about water coming out of the tailpipe. You haven't said anything about continuation overheat. 3 miles, overheat 3 miles, which is one that we wouldn't even do.
No.
But there's a lot of labor involved to prepare the cooling system for the sealer. And so, but the head gaskets are going to cause the rough idle, and a low coolant level is going to cause the erratic temperature gauge. So 1 and 1 equals 2. That's it. So I agree. I agree with the head gasket determination, and if he's got a sealer that he likes, then talk to him. But ours is in the 120 range, give or take.
Yeah.
And it just matters on a lot of different things. But that's the installation of the sealer. So is that good?
Yeah, that's good. Did that include the flush too, or is that?
Yeah, that's everything. When you leave there, you're good for a year. You're going to leave there with the proper amount of coolant. You're going to leave there with a good flush. We're going to check the heater core real quick for you. We're just going to touch the hoses. A flush is extra. So we're going to put you back together. I would strongly suggest that you leave the heater core issue alone for right now.
Yeah, it's summertime.
And here's the deal. We're not going to use this coolant. Has not caused heater cores to block or cooling systems or radiators to go bad. None of that has happened. And that's part of the reason, is because we're flushing the cooling system on the front side. So we're going to get a lot of that crap out of there. So that's the issue. All righty, Mark, thank you very much. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You can call in. The lines are wide open. Gil's there, and we'll be back right after this. All righty, we're going to save every second we can of this show. So this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. He's I-17 and Bell Gas, Diesel, ASE Master Certified Technicians, a friend of mine for 20 years, a good guy, knows right from wrong. Eric and Jeff are his lead technicians, and those guys are masters, as well as Kurt is a master. So you get the benefit of 3 ASE Master Certified Technicians looking at your car. frankly, folks, there's few shops that have three. I'm a master tech, and we have, I don't know, four or five in our shop.
Yeah.
We have a big shop. But I'm telling you, that's like the best experienced doctor that you can imagine.
The creme de la creme.
That's it. The creme de la creme. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Kathy, ladies first, you're up. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm a little nervous. I've never called into a car show before.
Oh, that's okay. But, you know what? Women give me symptoms. The guys tell me all the stuff that they've fixed already or that they've done that didn't fix the car. So I like women. You go right ahead, ma'am.
Okay, well, I have a 2002 RAV4, and every time I start it up, it gives a lot of black smoke out of the tailpipe. And then that's the only, it's only in the first thing in the morning when I do that.
Okay.
It doesn't happen if I do it hours later. It doesn't do it. And somebody told me it was oil dripping somewhere, but it doesn't drip on the ground. And
okay, well,
I heard you say on your last program that oil, if it burns oil, the engine burns oil, you're like need to get a new car.
No, no. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We got to back that train way up. There is a difference. I need to know if it's black, white, or blue. That's important.
She said black.
I know.
But okay.
But you
have to make sure.
You have to make sure of that. Number two, I bet when it starts up fine, you hit the key and it goes, run, starts right up. I'll bet when you think there's going to be black smoke, like you let it sit all night long, I'll bet it's this. I want you to pay attention to that. Otherwise, the cranking of the engine is longer. And I know I'm going to get black smoke. But if it goes and starts right up, then it's shorter and I don't get black smoke. Pay attention to that.
Okay.
If you're right about black smoke, you got a leaking injector. It's not oil because it's blue. So if you got black smoke, then you got a leaking injector, and I'm looking for an extended crank, which would solidify my perfect diagnosis. So if you say, Mark, when I sit overnight, it cranks over for 3 or 4 or 5 seconds, and then it starts. But, Mark, when I go from place to place, the dry cleaners to the dentist, blah, 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 I go to the grocery store, each time there's no black smoke, boom, it hits right off. It goes run. All right?
Okay.
You pay attention to that. But I can tell you right now, you've got nothing you've told me about that would suggest you need to replace the engine. How many miles are on this?
A little over 200,000.
Okay. And unless you're blowing blue smoke all the time, because oil consumption doesn't happen once. Every time you drive it, you get blue smoke. From there, it goes to a spark plug foul. That's the beginning of the end. Okay? So you're not even there. So I want you to shove that thought out of your head. Okay?
Oh, good.
All righty. Hey, what part of town do you live in, real quick?
South Scottsdale.
Okay. And who do you go to? Let me ask you this. Do you have a shop that you love?
I have a mechanic. He doesn't have his own shop, but he does regular oil changes on it and fixes other stuff. So.
Okay. Well, the guy that's really close to you is Bell Auto, and he's about 87th Street and McDowell. So he's just this side of the 101. His name's Craig. He's a wizard. And Craig could help you fix the car, or help you diagnose the car and fix the car, I guarantee you. Him and his wife run the operation, and they are the kindest people, but Craig is an awesome technician.
Okay, well, I'll take that. I know where they are. They're just not very far from me at all.
Okay, all right, it's called Bell Automotive.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, let's move on. Luke, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Mark.
Hi.
1996 Plymouth Voyager. And I have 85,000 original miles running. Excellent.
Okay.
And I need advice on the transmission. When it comes to a sudden stop, not a tire squeaking stop, but a sudden stop, for 2-3 seconds, it feels like, I've put it in neutral. In other words, the engine doesn't get engaged to the transmission.
Yeah.
I needed to know, get your advice, what's the symptom.
Alan, you got a guess?
My guess would be fluid low.
Bingo! Bingo. Yeah. Here's the deal. You need to have somebody look in your owner's manual. It'll tell you exactly to do it. The engine's on, the engine's off, the engine's in park, blah, blah, blah. But you need to check the fluid because an abrupt stop is causing the fluid to go forward and the pump is sucking air, which throws you into neutral. But as soon as the car comes to a stop, then the fluid in the swimming pool, in the pan, oil pan, settles down. And instead of sucking air, then it starts sucking fuel. Or not fuel, but oil.
Fluid.
So this does not mean you need anything other. I'll bet you that you could add a quart of fluid to this and that problem would go away.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, good luck to you, Luke. You betcha. Dave, you're up next. How can we help you?
Mark, 97 Oldsmobile 88. The power antenna, I can hear the motor running when I shut the ignition off, but it's not operating the antenna up and down.
Okay, I got this.
Online.
Okay, go ahead.
There are replacement parts you can get in the aftermarket. Am I better off to do that or go to the dealership, which would be its cousin, the Buick?
Yeah. I want you to know that your Buick or your Oldsmobile, there is no part on your Oldsmobile or a Buick, no part, not one, that was made in an area that says Buick Oldsmobile. Not one. You have an alternator from the lowest bidder. You have a starter from the lowest bidder. You have an engine from the lowest bidder. All your tires, your wheels, your shocks, everything in your car is made by some aftermarket company. Everything. I'll give you an example. A Ford today, a Ford truck, has a Hitachi alternator. It has a Denso mass airflow sensor. It has belts by Goodyear Continental. It has Bendix brakes. And I could go on and on and on. So the idea that you're going to get better parts at a dealership is bogus. Just flat out.
Now, I kind of figured that.
Okay.
I used to be in the business. You know who this is.
You sound doggone familiar. So. Let me answer your question, though. There is an electric motor that has fishing line in it. Fishing line that's big.
What's gone bad.
And that's broken. So all you need is a mast. So you get a new mast with a new piece of fishing line. But if you've never taken that motor out from underneath that fender, it ain't an easy job.
Well, so, I'm an old man now. I have a friend from church that is willing to do that at no cost.
Okay.
Maybe I'll have to buy him dinner or something.
Sure. So if he's willing to do that, you just need a mast that has the fishing line attached. You pull the motor out. You pull the mast out. You rewind it. You attach the little fishing line to the wheel. And then bzzz, it goes up. Now, the fishing line is as big as the cartridge in your ink pen. So it's a pretty stout. But your car is, 18, 21 years old.
Right.
And so that's an important consideration.
He probably just finally got to it.
Sure.
So ask me where I go to get my car fixed.
Who do you go to?
T-Bird Auto and S&S.
Okay. Well, T-Bird Auto and S&S are both on my list of the best car repair shops. Tom at Thunderbird Auto, though, you can't let him. He's just recently got married, and his head's turned to mush. So deal with his staff and not him. And, of course, I'm teasing you. But I have to say that just because if he's listening, he's going to want to kill me for that. I'm glad you go to S&S. I'm glad you go to Tom and T-Bird. They're good guys. All righty. When we come back, I'll tell you right now, David and Alan, you're our first two callers. Please stay there. And then we have three lines open. Then no one will get in front of David or Alan. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Sitting to my right is my son, Alan. He's been in our business more than 20 years. My name's Mark Salem. I'm a master tech, and I've been around a long time more than him. We'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem and Alan Salem here at your service. Let me tell you real quick about another great shop. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing is in Mesa. He's the only shop in Mesa that's been able to pass the muster, and I get to build the muster sheet. So Brian and Thelma are good people. They're on Main Street, just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. They've been around, I think this is the second generation of Vivian and Thompson's that have been in Mesa, and they're really good people. They've been around since 1970, and if you have a car issue or if you just want an oil change, they can handle just about anything for you. So if you don't have a repair garage that you trust, may I suggest that you trust Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, and on Main Street just east of Stapley. Let's go to the phones. Alan, you're up next. Thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. 1970 Plymouth CUDA, it has an overcharging problem. It's charging at 20 instead of 14.2, 14.3.
Wow.
And it's had the alternator changed, it's had the voltage regulator changed a couple of different times, and it's down to 17 with those changes, but it's still, it actually blew the headlights out at 20. Okay.
Yeah. It's gonna do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
It's time to have somebody look at it that's more of a professional nature, because you've probably already spent more money than most shops would have charged you to find it and fix it. One of the problems that we have on the older model cars is we got a lot of people that think they know everything in the world, and they go in and they make changes to the older cars, and the changes are going to bite somebody hard in the old posterior. What needs to happen is we need to run a series of volt drop tests, because somewhere along the line you're missing a ground, or you've got a ground with a bad connection or something, because the alternator and the regulator is not seeing the battery. And because they're not seeing the battery, they're thinking the battery's dead, so the regulator says to the alternator, give me all you got. So 17 to 20 volts, that burns out just about everything. So this is something you need to get handled. And the volt drop test has to be done by somebody who's done it again, that understands the readings, and really and truly, I'll tell you, I'm quite sure this is going to be a $50 to $125 job, which includes the fix. Because once you figure it out, what we're missing, then you're going to find out that it's not there. You're going to build a new ground cable. You're going to tighten up the one that's there. You're going to find a bad corroded connection. You're going to find something. But I would have done this, of course, before the alternator and the regulator. But what part of town do you live in? I'm going to send you to a gray-haired guy.
75th Avenue and Union Hills.
Okay, so I'd go to Tom Fletcher at Thunderbird Auto. If you want Tom's a good guy, and his staff is a good guy. If you want the best diagnostician with gray hair, then you're going to go to Harker's at 38th Avenue and Indian School. And when you walk in, just tell Bob, I heard that you're no good, and you couldn't fix a broken window, even if the crank handle was missing. But I'm willing to give you a chance, because there was a guy on the radio that said something. But I can tell you, on a 1 to 10 scale, this is a 2.5 or a 3. That's all it is for us.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. And I wrote down Thunderbird Auto. Where are they located?
88th Avenue and Thunderbird.
88th Ave.
And Thunderbird.
And T-Bird.
Yep, they're in Peoria.
They're in Peoria.
Yeah.
And then I got 38th Avenue.
An Indian School, and that's called Larry Harker's Auto. Larry Harker's Auto.
2 minutes.
Harper?
Harker. H-A-R-K-E-R. Harker?
H-A-R-K-E-R.
Yeah. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir. I got to write down T-O-T, Harker's, and T-Bird. I keep track of my referrals. Okay, let's go to the phones back. And Bob, you're up. Oh, by the way, Bob, come on up. But 602-508-0960, the lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. Bob, what can we do to help you?
Morning, guys. This week, I purchased a new set of tires for my wife's Equinox at one of the big membership, club stores, discount. And they were a year old. I saw it before they installed them. But I mean, she wore out the tires on her 15 Equinox, They had 77,000 miles on the original.
Okay.
So, you think I should have accepted tires that were a year old already?
Calm down. I want to answer this myself. Calm down. Those, in our vernacular, are poppin' fresh. You have to think about this. The tire is made, and from there, it goes to a testing facility. Then from there, it goes to a major distributor. And from there, it's distributed to the warehouses. And from there, it's sold to you. So I want to tell you something. I would let him put, if I had an ex-wife, I would probably want one that's 10 years old on hers. But a one-year-old tire, no harm, no foul. I want you to forget the notion that tire's old. That's a popping fresh tire.
I don't know that I would go as far as popping fresh, but I would have absolutely no reservations in. I've seen tires, that are, you know, 6 weeks old, but it's not very often. A year is nothing.
Okay, but we're buying from a warehouse, and he's talking about a mass guy.
I understand.
And so there might be a difference in the way the tire gets to us and them. Maybe, maybe not.
Well, the other thing, too, is very popular sizes. They run, you know, all the time.
Right.
But this may be an Equinox may have an odd size tire that they run, you know, twice a year. Okay. And you just happen to get the tail end of, you know, one of those runs or something. But no, not at all.
The bottom line is don't worry about
nope.
this.
Nope. Okay. Nope.
And besides that, at 77,000 miles, you should be congratulating your wife for 77,000 miles. You should be taking her to dinner for 77,000 miles. You should be doing something really, really nice for her, because I want to tell you, my wife hasn't hit 77,000 miles, and I just replaced the tires on my truck, and they were at 68,000 miles. So really, I hope she's listening, but I think an evening at Zee Tejas, or what's that big steak company place, Morton's?
Yeah,
Morton's. I think that's more appropriate that you should be thinking about, Bob, as opposed to your tires being old. That's what I think. Did I get you in a lot of trouble? I tried to.
No.
You notice he's whispering. Yeah. He's whispering. All righty. Thank you very much, Bob. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. Give us a call. We'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to hurry through these stuff we got to do, and then we're going to take Dave and Bruce, and we've got open lines available, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Phil, my buddy, at Automatic Transmission Exchange. He's been around since 1968. He has a tad of gray hair, and he's a transmission repair and diagnostic expert. So on Automatic Transmission Exchange has been at 40th Street in Washington. If you've ever been up and down Washington on the north side of the road, Automatic Transmission Exchange has been there since 1968. So they've been around the block. They've transitioned from the old power glides all the way up to the electronic transmissions, and that's a feat in and of itself. So if you're in Phoenix and you need transmission help, you want to talk to a transmission expert, then go by Automatic Transmission Exchange. Okay, Dave, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got a 2005 F-150. It's got 149,000 on it. And just recently, actually when it started getting cooler, I wouldn't say cold, never gets cold.
Yeah.
But when I pull out of the garage and give it the throttle, I feel a vibration. And it's like, it feels like it's coming from the left side. I don't know.
Is it?
I don't know.
But it doesn't do it when you're just sitting there idling. It's when you're accelerating either in reverse or in drive.
No, just in drive. And it's when, just like in my initial acceleration of the day, really.
Okay.
Or even, well, actually when I get off work, it does it again. But after that, it doesn't do it anymore.
Okay, so the question, I heard you already say motor mounts. It's typically, the vibration isn't transmitted to the car unless the car is in gear and the car is stationary. Usually when you throttle up, then the engine will reposition itself. It'll lift up and set back down on the mount. Plus, you're going so fast at 5, 10, 15 miles an hour that you're not going to feel a vibration. So it's one of those things that it sounds like you could duplicate it. I think I would go by my shop, not on a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon, but I would say to them, can I stop by tomorrow morning and I can demonstrate this problem to somebody? So can I borrow somebody for a little seat time, and I promise I'll have him back in 10 minutes? Because it really makes me mad when I loan you a technician and he's gone for 45 minutes. He's mad and I'm mad. So, but that's what I would do. Initially I thought maybe you have a coolant leak, but you didn't say anything about overheating and you didn't say anything about adding coolant on a regular basis. It could easily be a bad spark plug if you haven't done any plugs in the 149,000 miles.
No, you get better than 100,000 like it was supposed to.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, it's just, and the fact that it goes away and the fact that there are no other symptoms, you have two choices. You can go in and look for it, but if the fact that you can duplicate it is great, or you wait till it gets worse and easier to find, because this certainly isn't anything that's going to prevent you from going to Tucson or Douglas or Yuma or California.
Right, I haven't done that at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I want you to pay attention to two words, vibration or engine miss. Pay attention to see if you can determine if it's a steady ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta or if it's a vibration, which is more of a hum. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave.
It's really not a sound, dude. It's just a feeling.
I understand. And by the way, Dave, I want to apologize that you must have hit your head when you bought that Ford. But nevertheless, I'll let that go and I'll pass.
Hey, you know what? I've changed the brakes and I did my tune-up and that's it. I haven't replaced the headlight.
I know, but
you just jinxed yourself.
Yeah, you just jinxed yourself. And
we'll
see
you this week.
Yeah, we'll see.
I've been telling people this for years, and it's still wrong.
All right. But here, I want to share something to you. I've put on more hoses in 1 week than you've put on your whole life. I just want to tell you, I'm experienced. My personal experience is that 8 years, 80,000 miles on hoses and belts. So I hope now. If you make it through the winter here, I would bet that you're going to have a cooling system problem in the summer just because you've been around the world 6 times. You're way past a comfort zone. So 8 years, 80,000 miles, I would just suggest you plan for that kind of repair, okay? I got to move on. Thank you, Dave. Bruce, you're up next. How can I help you, Bruce?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a RV generator issue that I wanted to talk to you about.
Is it an Onan or a Kohler?
It's an Onan, okay. 4,000 microlite.
All right, so
I can already tell you what to do.
We already can tell you what to do, and we can already tell you what you're going to call us about.
Okay.
It doesn't start.
Or it surges real bad.
Or it surges real bad, one or the other.
Yeah, I run it about every month, and up until about 2 months ago, it runs fine initially, and the last couple months I've run it. It surges under load.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, go ahead and tell him what's the matter with it, Mr. Generator.
Replace the carburetor. Absolutely, positively, unequivocally, do not attempt to clean that thing. Do not.
Okay.
Because I'm telling you, every tech that's been through here that says, oh, I can just clean it, always tries to clean it, wastes a bunch of time, and it doesn't fix it. So just replace the carburetor. They're easily, readily available, and be done.
You're just going to go look for an Onan 4K generator carburetor and buy one from something that sounds like it's a good shop or a good manufacturer. And then I want to tell you, when you're done with that and you put it on, there's going to be some settings you need to set. You need to set the unloaded idle, and then you need to set the K, what's that called? It's on the tip of my tongue. It's 55 to 60, the hertz rate.
Okay.
We need to set the hertz rate. So I buy a little meter at Harbor Freight that gives me volts and hertz and amps, and it's a 110 meter. I plug it into the wall by the kitchen, and then I turn on my air, and I want to tune that 110 circuit to between 55 and 60 hertz. That'll be something you better do. But he's right. If you take that off and have Mr. Onan rebuilt it, his chances of being successful are 1/100 of 100%. So just put a new carburetor on it, okay?
Great. Thank
All right. You betcha. That was a pretty good deal. You know, I'm pretty proud of you. I already know what the two symptoms, and you were exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Who was it again?
Ron,
good morning. How can we help you?
I was just calling about two different issues, and one of them is I've been in three times with my truck. I have a 2003 Ford E250, and it's got quite a bit of weight in it, and three times I've been in for tire rotation and balancing, because after I hit like 65 or 70 miles an hour, it's a little scary. It's a little shaky.
Okay. Well,
and then the other. I'm sorry.
Let me do that one first.
Okay.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, and expecting a different outcome. It's time for a fresh pair of eyes. And here's the question: does the steering wheel shake north and south? Does the steering wheel go left and right? Do you feel the vibration only in the steering wheel, or in the seat of your pants, or both? You have to come up with all that information. And then when you do, then any good tire guy is going to be able to fix that.
Okay. The steering wheel is steady, and it feels like it's the front end.
Okay, but I needed you to say that the steering wheel is going to have a vibration, or going to be going north and south or left and right if it is the front end, because if it's not, if you don't have those symptoms, then what is it that you see that says that it's the front end?
Just like the shaking, well, it is shaking. The wheel is just shaking.
Okay.
What I'm mostly finding out is when I'm going up or down huge hills, going up the pace in our back.
Okay. All righty. Well, if the steering wheel is shaking left and right, then how many miles are on this thing?
146.
Okay. I'd be looking at the front end. If you want to check it yourself, I'm going to give you about a 2-second or maybe 60-second lesson on how to check it. Have you got somebody there at the house that you love that won't run over you?
Okay.
So somebody's going to get in. The car's going to be running. The emergency brake's going to be set. Somebody's going to get in. They're going to put their hand at 10 or 12 o'clock. And then you're going to crawl underneath the front, and you're going to put one hand on the front, one front tire and one hand on the left front tire. You got me? So you're going to wing out. So you're going to touch those two tires, and then you're going to say, go ahead, honey. And she's going to go left about the half the width of her hand. So she's going to go from 12 o'clock to like 11:30. Then she's going to go back to 12 o'clock. Then she's going to go to 1 o'clock. And she's going to go between 1 o'clock and 11 o'clock real slow. I want you, with your hands, to touch both front wheels, and I'll bet you dollars to donuts that one of them moves before the other one does. So that means you got some play in the front end. So you can balance those tires until we're all dead, and you ain't going to fix that. So now,
happens when I'm driving normal, not on any hills or anything.
Yes,
it doesn't do it.
It doesn't make any difference. We have to figure out what it is first. The steering wheel sawing left and right indicates that you got some, and then the mileage indicates you've got some worn out front end. Then you're going to look where the steering shaft comes into the steering box, and then you're going to go through the steering box. There's a pitman arm. Then the pitman arm's attached to the center link, and the center link's attached to both front tires. And somewhere in that, you're going to see a joint where half the joint moves and the other half doesn't. And that's where your problem. Alan, what does this cost to shake down a front end?
$45 or $50.
Okay, so you get a good senior guy looking at it. He puts it on the alignment rack. He shakes down the front end. He answers your question. That's the first thing you have to do. You got left and right movement of the steering wheel, and you think it's a tire problem, and that's not helped it any, then it's going to be a loose front end, and you haven't done anything to it. But you had a second issue. Go ahead with the second.
Sometimes when I go to crank the truck over, it'll turn over, you know, quite quickly, but it won't start. Then I'll shut it off, the key switch off, turn it back and start it again, and then it'll fire right up.
Okay. Does it only do it cold or after it sit a while?
After it sits a while.
Okay. Oftentimes what happens is when you turn the key and you go into the start mode, the computer will fire up the fuel pump. But if the car doesn't start within 3 seconds, and the computer knows when the car starts, because when it goes from 75 RPM, 150 RPM to where it goes 600 RPM, the computer knows it starts up. So if after 3 seconds it shuts off the fuel pump. If it says, oh, we're not going to start, I'm going to shut the fuel pump off. So by you cycling the key off and coming back on, you're given an additional 3 seconds. And now all of a sudden, boom, we got fuel pressure and the car starts. So if I were working on your car, I'd say leave it at night. I would hook a fuel pressure gauge up to it. In the morning, I'd turn the key to the on position and the fuel pressure would be 20 pounds. And I would know it's not going to start at 20 pounds. And I'm using stupid numbers because I don't know exactly what yours at. So 20 pounds, boop, I know it's not going to start. I turn it off. I hit it again. I count to 10. I turn it back on. And it goes, boom, to 50 pounds. Well, we got a fuel problem. So I got a leaking injector, a bad fuel pressure regulator, or a bad fuel pump. It's going to be one of those three. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you. Thank you. I want to tell you real quick about S&S Tire. They got three locations on the west side. They're in Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. S&S Tire's been open since 1976. They're in their second generation. There's Dad, and now the boys are running it. And I want to tell you, they are cookie cutters of one another. They're honest. They're dependable. They know right from wrong. And if you're a customer that deserves their attention, if you're a longtime customer and you have a valid concern, they're going to take care of you. But if you're going to say that my transmission went out after you guys rotated my tires, that might be a stretch of integrity for them, like it would be for me. Nevertheless, they have a huge and very comprehensive line of tires in different brands. So you can go in and you can say, take a look at my tires and the size and give me your good, better, best pricing. And that would allow you to decide which one you want. And then they can show you the three tires so that you can look at them as well. So they do not only tires, but from wheelbarrows to tractors and everything in between, but they can balance your tires. They do alignments. They do suspension works. They do vibrations. They do the steering wheel sawing left and right. They do all that kind of stuff. So suspension and tires is their is what they do. But they also do oil changes and tire rotations and brakes. So S&S Tire, the west side, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear, that's where I'd go if I were on the west side. So my name's Mark Salem. Alan Salem sitting here next to me, and there's another little Mark Salem sitting here next to me that's Alan's son. He doesn't really know much about cars, but he's a pretty good doggone baseball player. He's a good baseball player. And he got punched by his brother the other day, and we'll talk about that later. Is that right? Did that happen? It didn't happen? Okay, he's shaking his head no. So, nevertheless, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. We've got five lines. Why don't you give one of them a call? We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. I'm an ASE Master's Technician. I've been on the radio since 1988, and I'm here to help you with your car questions and car problems. So we talk about the year, make, and model, how many miles it's got on it, and then you tell me what the symptoms are, and we talk about that. Sitting next to me is my son, Alan. He's been in this business for 20 years, at least 20 years. He started picking up cigarette butts in 1985 in the parking lot. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
That was good training.
Mm-hmm.
That was good training. Then sitting on the other side of me is the third generation, and I don't know why you named him this. This was really, you just attached a huge tire to his neck. His name is Mark Salem. And he goes to Tarwater Elementary. And he's, what's the name of your girlfriend?
No.
You won't tell me. So that's right. I can't tell him that you like him.
I don't have one.
Oh, you don't have a girlfriend. Okay. Somebody's sweet on you. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto. Larry Harker's Auto at 38th Avenue and Indian School, in my opinion, is one of the very best shops in the valley with respect to diagnostician. Bob and his son are great diagnosticians. There's other shops out there that are really good, but when you get to that position where you've taken it everywhere and nobody can fix it, and everybody's guessing with your money, then you need to go talk to Bob at Larry Harker's. He does oil changes and emissions and electrical systems, works on all kinds of fancy stuff, but just last week, he fixed an F-35, I should say, a problem that nobody else could, and he fixed it. So that's the kind of guy he is, and that's the kind of shop he is. 38th Avenue and Indian School, Larry Harker's Auto. Let's go to the phones real quick, and Steve, you're up first. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. For a 2007 Lexus RX450, you know, those SUVs, the yellow light came on that says maintenance required, which I think means oil. Does that come on automatically based on mileage?
It's an algorithm. So we program the algorithm to, if you're on the freeway, you're going to have a longer oil change. But if you start up the car and you go a mile to church and then go home, then you go to the liquor store and then you come home, and then you go get your chiropractors and then you come home, that person's going to have an earlier check-in or a service soon light than you are. So it has to do with RPMs, how much at this range, how much at this range, how much speed, and how many times you went through a heat cycle. So how many times did you bring the engine all the way up to temp and then let it cool off? And how long was it in temp? That's the simplistic way to look at it. But you can also use that as a guideline. You remember yellow means caution. That's all it means. It doesn't mean stop. So, and then there's a procedure in your owner's manual how to turn that light off. So
right. Okay. So do you use like mileage also? Like if I just changed the oil somewhat recently and then that light came on,
you need to verify very, very, very first thing that that's for oil change, because in a lot of cases it's actually not.
Oh,
in a lot of cases it could be something else. Did you just roll a major milestone as far as mileage goes, like 100,000 or 75,000?
No.
Okay. Sometimes I know, like on the Dodges, at 67.5, it will throw that light for a CCV filter. You need to look in your owner's manual and figure out exactly what that's for. Now, if you just had the oil changed, you know, 1,500 miles ago, either A, and it is for an oil change, it either A, didn't get reset, or B,
it didn't get reset.
Or B, it's not for that.
Yeah. Oh, that's
right.
True. That's
yeah.
True.
So,
that's true.
You need to verify that that's what it is first.
And that's a good point. You cleaned up my mess. That's true. I want to tell you something, that a third of the time when people come in with a light, it's not what they thought it is. And the owner's manual is the Bible. So just blame this on your wife. Go get the owner's manual and look and make sure. If it is truly an oil service, an oil change interval, and the answer to your question is if you use conventional oil, that you should have a sticker on your windshield for 3,000 to 5,000 miles. If you use a semi-synthetic, it's 5,000 to 7,500. If you use a synthetic, it's north of 7,500. So you can ignore that light if you put the right sticker on the windshield, depending on what kind of oil you use, because the difference between conventional, semi-synthetic, and synthetic has to do with how long the oil lasts. So, and let me ask you this question. How many miles a year do you drive?
10,000.
Okay, I'd put synthetic in it, and I'd change it in April every year. That's what I would do. Because the synthetic will go 10,000 miles with no sweat. It'll go 10 and 12. And I change the oil just before the summer. And you go the whole year with the same oil. And you, and as long as you kind of every once in a while open up the hood or have the tires checked in the six-month frame, then right. There's no harm, no foul. That's what I would do.
Okay, cool. I'll bring it in and have it looked at your stuff anyway. I had just one more. For a Tahoe with the dead battery in the garage, where should I go buy a battery?
89% of all the batteries in the United States are made by Johnson Controls. When you go to Johnson Controls, they have bowling alleys that are sloped. As you stand there, the same battery comes down in 10, 20, 30 different bowling alleys with 10, 20, 30 different tags. I would buy a maintenance-free battery. If you want to use like Price, Costco, or Walmart, those are good places. I like Delco, but I wouldn't buy the cheapest. I'd buy the 60-month one or so. I'd look for a sealed battery, and I'd look for something that looks like a Delco. That's what I would do.
Thank you very much, Mark.
All right, you betcha, Steve. Thank you very much. Kevin, you're up next. How can I help you?
Well, hi, Mark.
Hi.
You've been around since Wallace and Ladmo.
I've been around.
I've been on that show.
Yeah.
I was on that show.
Hey, you're dating me, you big jerk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was. I got a Ladmo bag on that show.
All righty. Thanks, Kevin.
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
I've got a 98 Ford Explorer. It's got 220,000 miles on it. I bought it for $1,600 at 110,000 miles. The transmission is starting to slip in between second and third gear. And, you know, it's a nice little shell. I'm wondering how far those transmissions go.
Well, let me ask you a question here. You got $1,500, $1,600, and that car gave you 100,000 miles.
Right.
I think you're probably going to end up with a transmission. Obviously, somebody's doing right in the way they drive it and the way they service it. This thing doesn't owe you anything. And even if you spend $3,000 for a transmission, let's do this. What's $3,000 divided by 30 months?
Right. I got you.
$100 a month, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Right.
So at $100 a month, I'm going to ask you this. I'll buy your transmission.
Right.
You pay me $100 a month plus interest, and then you're home free.
I got it. It's a great little shell. I could live in it for a couple of months and pay for another transmission, rent my house. Mark, would I have a concern driving to Prescott or Flagstaff? Once I get into it's all freeway. I don't have to worry about it.
I don't like that idea. I don't like that idea. I think this is something that needs to be addressed, and I'll tell you why. It's because you're way past the life of most transmissions, way past. Rarely do we see them go north of 175. We see most of them fail somewhere between 100 and 150. So I think you're rolling the dice. Do you have a good transmission shop?
No, not really.
Where do you live?
Desert Ridge area.
I would go to Kurtz or Action, which are both of them are on the I-17. They have access to the finest wholesale shop around. And they're not going to let the wholesale shop's not going to deal with you. They deal with installers. And I would probably I would bid a transmission replacement with either one of those. Action, Deer Valley and I-17, or Kurtz at Bell and 17. That's what I would do.
Can I ask you this? I've been advised maybe we're just prolonging the inevitable, but a friend of mine says, I'll evacuate all the, well, do the fluid, leave the pan, do the fluid, drive it, do the fluid again, drive it, do the fluid again.
It's going to be a waste of money.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to fix anything with that. And besides that, I don't like leaving the pan and the filter there. Part of the diagnostic on this is pull the pan and look at the filter. If it's all full of brass bushings or if it's all full of ground up metal or if it's all full of clutch material, then we don't have to flush it. We know what the heck it is right there. So that would be part of the process, but pulling the pan would do that. But no, I disagree. I don't think the transmission is going to love you. This is a transmission that is a 125-year-old guy that's walking with a cane. Right. And so to go in and flush all of his blood out of him isn't going to make him live another day longer. Probably kill him. Probably kill him if you did that. So,
can I expect it to go all at once or slowly but surely? Or
I just think you're rolling the dice. I would not let you take my kids to Prescott or my grandkids in that car for fear that you'd break down and you're going to have a tow bill that's going to be a substantial one.
Right.
The answer to your question is the symptoms will get worse, but you don't know when the rubber band's going to break. Because there's going to be a time that the light bulb's going to burn out, and boom, you're not moving. And I think that's a bad idea.
And hopefully I'm not in the middle of Bell Road pulling out of Walmart.
Well,
in both directions.
Yeah, and a beer between your legs, and somebody clips you, and then all of a sudden the cops are there, and you say, gosh, I should have put that transmission in a long time ago. So, all right, good luck to you, buddy. Thank you very much. Terry, you're up next. How can I help you, Terry?
You got a 2001 Ford Ranger.
Developed
a clatter towards the back of the engine. The clatter is only there when it's in park. I've picked it up a couple. It's an intermittent clatter. Sometimes it, and I've pulled it up, parked it up against the curbstone when it was clattering. Sometimes it sounds, it's coming out of the left side of the engine. Sometimes it sounds like it's towards the front of the engine and the valve cover. Next time it sounds like it's coming out of the camshaft area. I have no idea what to do or where to take it and find out what's going on.
I can help you with that. First of all, I can't obviously do sounds over the radio, but I can tell you that I've got guys working for me, and there's a lot of guys in this valley that can listen to that, spend 15 minutes, and come doggone close on what's the matter with it. I was thinking, what, did you have an idea off the top of your head? Because I've got something.
I didn't.
How about a broken flex plate? He said at the back of the motor. That's the first thing he said is at the back of the motor.
Yeah, but that would be there all the time.
Not necessarily. We see flex plates make noise at all different times. They can make noise in neutral. They can make noise in drive or reverse.
Yeah.
So a flex plate is the flywheel in the automatic transmission. But as far as the noise is concerned, this isn't going to be that tough to find. What part of town do you live in?
I live on the west, Glendale on I-17.
Okay. You can go north to Kurtz at I-17 and Bell, or you can go north to Deer Valley at Action Auto Repair. You can go to 12th Street in Glendale to Kelly Clark. All three of those guys, Kelly Clark, Kurtz Auto, or Action, all three of those guys could find the noise and bid the repair. This is how you do it. You go in, you say, you call them, you say, I got a noise. I can make it happen, you know, pretty much all the time. When can I bring it in? And what's your diagnostic fee? Give me your diagnostic range. And I think you'll find most shops will say, hey, the first 10, 15 minutes are free. After that, it's going to be, you know, it's a dollar and a quarter, or it's $125 an hour. So if it's a half an hour, it's half of that. But just get that all situated on the front side, no matter what shop you use, including my own. Those are the kinds of questions everyone should ask their shop. Okay?
Okay, I got one other question.
Go ahead.
I have a Ford Windstar, and the driver's side window, when I got the car, they wouldn't go up or down. The switch didn't do anything. So I replaced the switch. I got in and poked around, and the motor works.
Okay.
So I got in, and so I decided to switch. So I went out. I bought a $160 switch from Ford and put it in. The window went up two or three times, and now that switch is dead, which says I got a problem somewhere else.
I got a fix for you, but do you ever, on Sunday morning, are you ever in a house of worship? Well, all right.
Not as frequent as I should be.
All right. I'm trying to get a, if I can help you diagnose this car over the phone, I want you to be nice to somebody in the next 30 days. I want you to tip a lady extra when you go to dinner or something like that. Okay, deal?
Okay, that's fair.
All right, next time this happens, I want you to open the door, and I want you to push your finger in the up mode or the down mode. And I want you to take your other hand, and I want you to hit the door panel hard. Hard. And all of a sudden, the motor goes up, the brushes are bad, you need a new motor, and we're done. I've done that so many times on Ford, I can't tell you. The other night, I was having lunch with a bunch of guys. And one's a Marine, one's in the Army, one's a retired cop. All these guys are macho, hair out of their chest kind of guys. And Daryl was crying because his Ford had an intermittent up and down in the window. So I went outside and I said, I can diagnose it for you right now. I said, but you're going to have to buy lunch next time we meet. He said, okay, fine. So I opened up the passenger door and the window wouldn't go down. So I just pushed the button down, made sure that the key was on and the car was running. I pushed the button down and then I took my right hand and I just whacked that inner door panel hard and it goes down. So they're all laughing at me, and so I tell Daryl and all the rest of them what I did and why I did that. It's just push the brushes of the armature are spring-loaded, and they get real short, and if you hit the thing and jar, or you could slam the door, too. You could sit inside the car, hold the button down, and slam the door real hard, and it'll work. Anyway, so then next time, Tuesday, we had lunch. Daryl says, it's happened a couple more times, and I do what you do, and it works. And I said to him, there's going to come a time it's not going to work. This is a diagnostic procedure. This is not a fix. So I'm telling you the same thing. This is something to help you diagnose it. But if it works when you hit the door panel, then I win and you lose. Okay?
Okay. Well, that sounds fair enough.
All right.
I poked around in there yesterday, got a battery charger out, and poked wires down into the socket, and the motor goes up and goes down, but the switch don't make it go.
Okay, well, we just need to make sure it is the switch. It's not likely the switch is bad, but you might pop the switch out, put a little dielectric grease on the connections, and then put the plug on and off, on and off, on and off, then leave it on and leave it out. And then that way you can check to see if it is. So if the window doesn't roll down, you push the up button, and you start wiggling the connection and it works, then all of a sudden Mark's wrong, okay? All righty. Good luck to you. Thank you very much. We got open lines available, 602-508-0960. There's five lines. You'll get one for sure, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. That's the phone number. We've only got Steve on the line, and we've got four open ones. So if you have a car question or if you want to discuss something, then knock yourself out, 602-315. Almost did my cell phone.
Oh, boy, that would have been a nightmare.
Oh, that would have been. That's my most coveted secret in the whole wide world,
yeah,
is my cell phone. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is a Better Business Bureau A-plus rated shop. He does lots of good work, and at Strictly Diesel, they're diehard diesel service, repair, and parts people. They do foreign and domestic light diesel trucks. They're located at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road in North Scottsdale. They're open Monday through Friday, and they sell diesel parts 24 hours a day on their website. So you can get more information on my Best Car Repair Shops list under the website of MarkSalem.com. And if you click Best Car Repair Shops, then you click Diesel, then you'll see Strictly Diesel. Hey, they're a good shop. If you're up in that area and you need diesel work, they do a good job. Let's go to the phone. Steve, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hi, guys. I have a new car, basically a new car. I have a 2016 Hyundai Elantra that I bought less than a year ago and has 12,000 miles on it. And just recently, in the last few months, I've been getting a smell, a real sort of rancid smell from the vent system, both when I turn the air on for a few minutes, but also occasionally when I just have the vent going. And I had talked to the dealer, and they're telling me that it's an AC filter, something along those lines, that would be my cost. And it sort of doesn't make any sense to me because this is a brand new car, in effect, and I've never had anything like this.
Okay, well, hold on. Perhaps what you don't understand is recently, in the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, we've been putting cabin filters in a car. And the cabin filter is quite different than the air filter underneath the hood. The cabin filter is representative of the filters you change in your house that are in their ceiling. And so there is a filter there, and on one side of the filter, you've got fresh air coming in, and then on the same side of the filter, you have recirculation going in. Is that me?
No.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. And so we're going to filter the air before we blow it in your face. So this is really simple. it's sometimes on a 1 to 10 scale, the cabin filters, the replacement of cabin filters might be a 2 or 3, and every once in a while you run across a 5 or a 6.
Right.
And so the cabin filter, when we pull it out, you should be there, and we're going to pull it out and smell it, hand it to you. And if you go, ooh, that's it. Well, you're going to see the old one, and you're going to see the new one. But one of the things that you should do on a regular basis is try to use the fresh air mode as opposed to the recirculation mode. So the fresh air mode brings outside air, and your car's going to like that better than if you stay in recirculation mode all the time. So they're talking about a cabin filter, and whatever they quoted you, you can get done for far less somewhere else. Okay?
Okay. Would that, would that go after 12,000 miles? I've changed a lot of cabin filters before, and I never have the car in recirc unless I have the air on. It's always in sense.
Yes, the answer to your question is yes. We've seen them go in 3 months. I mean, the biggest thing is rodents. I don't know where you live, but I had one the other day that literally came out so packed full of stuff after 3 months because there was a rodent living in there. So, I mean, there could be, you know, especially with a rancid smell.
And if he's sleeping in that filter and you start the car up and shut the vent on him, then he's going to die there. And it's not uncommon for us to find lots of stuff. Now, you also want to go over there, rub your hand briskly on the floor mat on the passenger side and smell it. And let's make sure we haven't contaminated the carpet on that side. And that could be a coolant leak from the heater control or the heater core. And that can create all kinds of smells as well. So briskly rub your bare hand on the carpet, passenger side, and smell it and see if that smells like that. Okay?
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you.
You bet, Steve. Good luck to you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Cabin filters, I tell you what, if we get into trouble, my shop, your shop, our shop, if we get into trouble, it's that disconnect there. Because what happened, holy mackerel, that's gross.
Yeah.
You're showing me a filter right now that you yanked out.
That was this week. And just to kind of give it to the callers. So we first pulled the air filter out. Let's see, there it is. First pulled the air filter out, and it was full of all of the underneath your hood. You've got that blanket on the hood, your hood, and it
insulation.
Was, the hood blanket, and against the firewall, completely jam packed in all of that. So we pulled that out, and then we went into the cabin filter, and it had little wood, you know, wood chips in it. It had rodent droppings in it,
leaves.
I mean, the most disgusting thing you've ever seen. You want to know something funny? Mm. We put this back in.
He wouldn't buy a new
one.
It was a he or a she?
He.
Oh, see, women will always buy that. When you show them that kind of stuff.
He said he would take it home and do it himself.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine.
I get that. I'm just saying. So we had to put it all back together. But not only that, but I've also got a cardboard box picture here of all of the stuff that we vacuumed out of it.
Right. You run across that every once in
a while. Absolutely.
The message here, folks, is this. Cabin filters are quite different than air filters for your engine. Most of us don't charge anything. 99% of the time, my shop and everybody else in town doesn't charge you to replace the air filter in your car. But the cabin filter necessitates digging it out. So it's behind the glove box, and oftentimes you have to take the glove box apart. A lot of times there's cowling underneath there that has to come apart. Then when you get in there, on your air filter of your car, we put our hand over the intake and we take an air gun and blow it all out. But underneath your car, we can't do that. So if it's inside the car, we wouldn't dare create that. So we have to get a vacuum cleaner out. We have to clean everything up. We have a soft bristle brush. And we want to make that look clean. So that's what it's all about.
Right.
Everything that lands on the hood or the grill in front of your windshield ends up in your cabin filter. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. Give us a call. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. We've got 26 minutes left in the show, and the lines are wide open, except for Mary. We're going to get Mary in just a minute. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a discussion you want a short answer to, then give us a call, 602-508-0960. Mary, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Thank you.
I have a 2011 Kia Soul. And it's got 105,000 miles on it. And I started driving it a few days ago, and it has a, like a thumping and a little bit of, I guess, squeaking And it sort of sounds like the right rear door is not closed all the way and it rattles.
Okay.
I'd like to know what's going on the right side of the car,
okay,
the right rear.
I need you to do a couple things to help your shop and save you money. So
okay.
you get it Sunday morning. Tomorrow morning, you drive the neighborhood. Nobody's up. You can do whatever you want on the road. So, or you go behind the Bash's store. You go to the parking lot of the closest Bash's store, and you drive around the parking lot. But anyway, you're going to get it to happen, and then you're going to start making kind of right turns and left turns, and slow left turns and right turns. Does that change it? And if so, how? So if you make a left turn and it gets worse and you make a right turn and it doesn't get worse, then we're going to look at the wheel bearing on either the right front or the right rear. On the other hand, you're going to make turns left and right, but I want you to keep your foot steady on the gas. Don't go any faster or slower, and gently apply the brakes with your left foot. And if the noise changes and gets worse or goes away, that helps. When you walk into your shop and you say to them, my soul's outside, I can demonstrate the problem, but basically I've got this squeaky noise on the right rear, and as soon as I gently apply the rear brakes, the noise goes away and I have 105,000 miles on it. You just saved yourself $70, $80 worth of diagnostic money because you've given us, I mean, you've shortcutted a whole bunch of stuff. And then if you can take them out in the store and out of the shop and into the street and you go around the block and you show them what's going on, he's sitting on the passenger side, he or she, and they're going to know what it is. Mm-hmm. So that's okay. What you need to do. Gentle turns left and right, and then get it. Does it make it worse or better as I turn left and right? And I want like a 90-degree turn. I want you to make kind of a hard right turn. And then I want you to make a gradual right turn. Do that on both sides. And then, like I said, keep your foot on the throttle. You're doing five, wherever the noise is most prevalent, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 miles an hour. And then just gently apply the brake pedal. Keep your foot steady, your throttle foot steady, and just gently apply the brake pedal. That's what I would do if I was going to diagnose your car. Okay?
Okay. Now, would I apply the brake while I'm turning or while I'm going straight?
No. Yeah. We're not going to be applying the brake. We're going to just turn left and right with no brake. Thank you for asking that. Yeah,
okay.
And then the other test, we're going to do the brakes, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you. We had a gentleman call in about electric cars. Do you have any opinions on electric cars? Anything you can say on the radio?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't own one as a primary vehicle, but, I mean, I like the look and the performance of the Tesla. But I don't know. But literally, look and performance, period. I don't know anything else about them as far as that goes.
You got to be joking.
No.
You just talked about a $100,000 car.
Right.
Or more.
Right.
Let's talk about the Prius. Let's talk about the other more, you know.
Right.
Yeah, the Tesla's a fast car, but for 100,000 miles, you know, I can hire a limo and a pretty girl to drive me around for a very long time for 100,000 miles.
$100,000.
Yeah, $100,000. The idea is that, tell me if you agree with this. The issue is they are over promise and under deliver in every way, shape, or form. What bothers me the most about the electric cars is when you're on the freeway with them, they go up hills real slow because they're watching that consumption meter in their dashboard. But then they come flying down the hill on the backside, so they want to recharge the battery on the backside as opposed to the front side.
Right.
I think that they overrate the battery life, they overrate the speed, they overrate the distance, they overrate everything. I also think that they're changing so rapidly that when you buy a new car, within 2 or 3 years, that baby's a Fred Flintstone car.
Sure, absolutely.
It is so far behind in technology. It's like buying something with Windows version 3.1 and then having Windows 12 come out 3 years later.
You could really say that with everything, though. But I agree with you, in the automotive field, it's even accelerated more.
Okay, but you got to agree with this. There is changes year to years, but they're not so broad as the electric cars.
Right. But, I mean, you could say the same thing for cell phones or TVs or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. But I've had my iPhone 6 for 3 or 4 years.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah.
I think you took pictures of me as a baby with that phone.
Oh, this will be your last show. But that's the purpose of my discussion. Is my phone suits me just fine? And if I went to an iPhone 7 or 8 or what do they got now? 10, 9, 11, 12?
Or no, they don't have an 8 and 10. I'm not an iPhone guy, so I don't know.
All right. If I went to one of those, they probably would have some features that really wouldn't work for me.
Right.
But if they had one that the battery lasted a week as opposed to 8 hours, that would be something that I would jump at.
Right.
I also think that there's a misunderstanding about the maintenance of a hybrid car or an all-electric car, and this is the reason why, is because the maintenance is huge on those cars. When they come in and they've got a 30K service or 60K service, you're going to spend the rest of your life checking that car out if you go by the list that they give you.
Right.
So I'm just not a fan of electric cars. I don't think we're where we need to be. I agree Tesla's where we need to be,
right.
But I'll tell you this. Very few of them can keep up with traffic and leave from central Phoenix and go to central Tucson with just in electric mode. You know, they brag about 100 range and $125 mile range, and there are people out there that probably get that, but I'm going to put them in 5 o'clock traffic, central Phoenix to central Tucson, and let's see that 125, 135-mile jaunt, and let's see if you make it.
Right.
I've tried numerous times, and I can't make it to Tucson in an electric car. And that's from South Tempe. So 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Let me tell you real quick about Kelly Clark. Kelly Clark has been in business since 1954. I know Kelly Clark and his wife Rita. I know them personally. I've been around them for I sound like Donald Trump, for a million years. Nevertheless, I've been around them for a very long time. Kelly's a good guy, but Rita makes Kelly dance to her music. 12th Street and Glendale. That's a Kelly Clark automotive specialist. Family owned and operated. They have ASE master technicians. They do mechanical services that cover every inch of your car, your van, your truck, your SUV. They're professional, they're honest, they're reliable, and they are very much fairly priced. They're open Monday through Saturday, 12th in Glendale. If you live in that area, Central Phoenix, you couldn't do better than 12th Street in Glendale, and that's Kelly Clark. Let's go to the phone. Susie, you're up first. How can I help you?
Hi, I have a 2008 Ford Fusion. It has 120,000 miles. I started it a couple days ago, and it just started idling super rough right when I started it, and then the service engine light started flashing.
Okay.
I haven't had any problems up until then.
Has it done it more than once?
I drove it home just with the flashers on, like 15 miles an hour. I started it later on that afternoon, and it didn't do it again.
Okay.
I haven't driven it
since then. There's going to be some evidence that we have available to us to plug in our scanner to your car and say, hey, what happened? And it'll tell us. Let me ask you this. At 100,000 miles, do you drive like somebody who has a hot cup of coffee in their lap and never spill it, or does every once in a while the throttle hit the floor?
I don't drive fast.
Okay.
But I'm the second owner of the car, so I'm not sure how the first owner drove it.
Okay. A lot of times we just find carboned up. We find the idle air control motors carboned up, or the throttle blades are really filthy dirty. There's a lot of things that can cause what you describe, but I want to tell you that the overwhelming majority of them involve cleaning something. So if the next time you're, like tomorrow morning, when you get on the freeway, you know, you look around, there's nobody behind you, nobody in front of you, and you make a right, you're on the on-ramp, I want you to stuff the throttle to the floor and go all the way to the bottom, okay? Nobody's around you. And then merge onto the freeway during normal traffic. I want you to do that a couple of times.
I'm not driving fast enough is what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we want you
to
drive.
That's what we're
saying. Yeah, hard to the pedal, pedal to the metal. And then when you get going 65, 70 miles an hour, then back off. I want you to do that just about every time you get on the ramp and there's nobody around you. And that's okay. There's not going to hurt that. I promise you it won't hurt it. But okay. A car is like a horse. If you take the horse out of the barn and you walk him around the barn, you know, with his feet taking steps that are 6 inches in diameter, and you put him back in the barn, that horse is never really going to be strong. But if you mm-hmm. take that horse out and you saddle him up and you go work cows for 8 hours and you're running and chasing cows and pushing them up against the fence and the horse that you're roping off the horse, that horse is a strong horse. There's no horse that lives to be 20 years old that walks around his home 3 times a week. They don't live that. The ones that last 20 years are the horses that have been rode hard and put away wet. So, and I really don't think this is a big deal for you. And stuff the throttle a couple of times and look in your rearview mirror, and if there's a bunch of smoke and there's a bunch of debris coming out of the back of the car, and then the second time you do it, there should be a little less, and the third time there should be none, then we've accomplished our goal. We've decarbonized your motor. If you don't want to do that, bring it over. Alan, my son, will drive it. He'll decarbonize it for you in a heartbeat. and he'll do that for free, okay? And here's the good news. If he gets a traffic ticket, he pays it, okay?
Awesome.
All right, Susan, thank you very much. Greg, right. Greg, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, I have a 2013 Toyota Tacoma. And when I step on the brake, going at about highway speed, say 45, 50 miles an hour, let's say, I get a vibration out of the front end. And it's not all the time, but I'd say it's most of the time, 75% of the time when I'm going at a highway speed and I put on the brake. If I'm riding around town, it doesn't happen.
Okay. And how many miles are on it?
67,000.
Okay.
Does it even matter? I mean, we already know what it is. Does it even matter how many miles are on it?
Well, I wanted to.
If there was 10 miles or 10 million.
Okay, all right. But the reason I ask him how many is because if he said 100,000, I would say, have you had brakes done yet?
Yeah, no, I understand. I thought about that afterwards.
All right, all right. You know, I've been doing this since you were a little boy, so it's a bad idea to second guess the
I'm just telling
sensei.
You.
Okay?
I'm just telling
all right,
this,
if you know what it
sensei.
Is, then go ahead and say it.
The sensei.
No, I said the sensei.
That's what I know.
Okay.
You've got to set it.
Killing me.
Yeah.
You've got a set of warped rotors in the front is what you're feeling.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what happens, we turn the rotors. And we're going to put a micrometer on them. We're going to rotate the rotors. We're going to see that they're out of round. But why does he overload in his front rotors? What's likely to be wrong with his Toyota Tacoma that causes the...
Well, it depends. I mean, does he have drum in the back? Or, I mean, if the rear's unadjusted properly, I know that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
But I mean, it could just been a panic stop that warped them. They could have been cut 3 or 4 times already to this point, and just too thin, and now they warp. Every time you cut them, they're going to warp a little easier because there's less material to dissipate the heat. But
I think have you done front brakes on it yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, this is something that's going to be fixed when you do the front brakes. It could also be a bad wheel bearing too. So yeah. A wheel bearing to cause the rotor wobble. Really and truly, you tell the brake guy, check the brakes, and I've got a wobble at high speed, slow down. Those are the key words, high speed, slow down. I love you're the first guy that's ever given us that good of a description of warped rotors. Most of them tell us how many things they've done. They've replaced the windshield wiper motor. They've replaced all the front end parts. They've replaced the tires. They've rotated them, and I still got this high speed wobble. Well, it's only brake application. So you did a great job. I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
You were raised by a mother that actually taught you to give us what we needed. But thank you very much. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
You're welcome. Welcome. Jeremy, what's up, buddy?
Yes, sir. Is there an alternative to buying a second smart key for my used car that is not going to the dealer and spending $500?
Yeah, we'll do it for $499. Ace Hardware.
Yes. What?
Ace Hardware.
Just how much they are?
Well, there's some programming involved and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, even to this point right today, there's not keys that we can cut.
I understand.
Yeah. But there are ways around that.
And what? How? Tell me how.
Well, I mean, I know that our mobile guy will do it for us because he comes out and trusts us. But cutting a key and getting a key programmed or a key with the chip is different. Any good independent shop, anyone on our list could get you a key, and I'm certain that they would be able to save you money over the dealership.
That always happens. The 500 turns into 200, 230, 250. Pretty simple. I would stop by an independent shop, maybe one or two, and just have them, here's the key, I want to duplicate, how much? And more than likely, the guy's not going to want to, our guy doesn't want to deal with the public.
Right.
They want to just deal with guys like me. They want to be able to come in, get the heck out of there, and they don't want the customer to say, wait a minute, you were only here 41 minutes and you're charging me $230. They don't want any of that. So they just go from shop to shop to shop. We have a pretty good guy, but he doesn't work for the public.
Right.
He only works for shops like mine. So go to your independent shops close by and just show them the key and say, this is what I want to do. Do you have someone to do it? And I would say 8 out of 10 are going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I would approach it. But you could also, now, don't call him and ask him, because we're not going to give you an estimate over the phone. But if you show up and say, this is what I want to do, most of us can give you or we're going to call the guy and say, hey, this is what we got, and we're going to use the right terminology, and he's going to say, quote him at $230. And then you say, what's my price? And he says, I'm going to do it for you for $30, and you quote him at $230. And I say, okay, good. But what I said just at the last there is a big lie. Yeah.
You know, and like I said, you can't just call on the phone because inevitably we're going to go back to parts and we're going to say, hey, this X vehicle here, and our parts guy's going to go, okay, does it have the Y key, the K key, the M key, the Z key? And so if you come in, I can take that key back to my parts department and say, hey, how much is this? And then call what's his name to have him program it.
And that's why I said, you have to stop by the shop. This is not a phone call you can use. But you're
that could apply for about 90% of the phone calls we get.
I know. But in their defense,
I know.
We're a well-known advocate of a car repair. So, yes, we could have three people answer the phone 24/7. But our staff is pretty good at telling them what, because we make them listen to the show. We
require it.
We require they listen to the show just so that they can produce the results that we promise for them.
That's right.
So, anyway, good luck to you. And, oh, by the way. Jeremy, what part of town are you in?
Glendale. I go to Thunderbird.
Oh, all right. Well, and I was teasing Tom earlier in the show. He got married not too long ago. He's a very happy person, and I'm just kind of teasing him. So you can just say to him, you could say something like, hey, Tom, how are you? He says, by the way, here's my business, or I'll get a business card out of my car. I'm a divorce lawyer in case you need me. And he's going to look at you really funny, and then you can say, that was on behalf of Mark Salem. And then he'll laugh. And then say that I do have a coupon here in my pocket from a $100 discount from Salem. I just can't find it. So, and I don't tell you that because I'm going to get a spiff or any money back. I don't ever do that. So it just kind of lets you know that he's a referral from me. That's all. All righty. We need to talk about Action Auto Repair. And it's an important shop up at I-17 in Deer Valley. I've known Tom since the late 80s. And I've respected him, and we've known one another for a long time. He's on the northwest corner of I-17 in Deer Valley. It's a full-service, family-owned, independent auto repair shop that served Deer Valley and North Phoenix since 1983. So whatever your repairs are, his staff is well-known for quality workmanship, excellent customer service, and a good, fast, and efficient turnaround time. They have ASE Master Certified Technicians, and if you own a Beamer, he's got a master Beamer technician. So if you want a second opinion on anything with your BMW, then Action Auto is one of the places that you should try out. There's one in Tempe that's on our list, but Action covers the entire northwest, south valley, everything from probably the 51 west, everything north and south.
TJ so is your last call.
That's
TJ.
The one. If you have a BMW, then Action is a good place. But any other car, they're a good place for that either. BJ, is it BJ or PJ?
PJ.
PJ, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Hello? Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi. I actually work at a shop over in Scottsdale, and just kind of wondered if you heard of the changeover. You know, Nadine's your park call service. And she has sold the shop.
Well, that's not that. So take him down. I don't know where we're going with this, but that doesn't belong on the show. We're not going to advertise for a new owner of a shop, and we're not going to talk about the old owner of the shop. That's just something that is not. We're not doing that. And because I got the controls, I get to pick it. I don't know where you're going with that. And I don't know if you're going to be kind or if you're not going to be kind. And I'm not quite sure how you fall on that. But when a shop changes names or changes ownerships, they fall off of our list because the new owner has to perform to the level that we demand. So I would prefer that we just not deal with those kinds of issues. If I, PJ, I'm sorry, but that's just not, it's just like if somebody called the shop or called in and wanted to beat up a shop real bad. We don't want to do that because there's two sides to the other story. Anyway, if Monday through Friday, if you have a car question, mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com, and you're more than welcome to send me your name. And if you would be so kind as to include a time I could call you and a phone number I could call you, I always call from a cell phone that's blocked for obvious reasons, but sometimes I don't want to type for 5 minutes. So if you'll give me a phone number, I'll be happy to call you. I'm Mark Salem. This is KKNT, and we'll see you next Saturday right here at 10 o'clock till noon.